All right, we'll call the meeting of the Wasco County Planning Commission to order. Could I have the roll call?
Russ Hargrave.
Here.
Vicki Ashley.
Here.
Chris Shannon.
Here.
Lynn McIntyre.
Here.
Kathleen Willis.
Sorry, guys, here.
And Danielle Doherty, sorry.
Here.
And I'm Kelly Housley Glover, staff, and we also are joined by Jen C. Smith and Krista Harris, staff.
Okay, thank you. This meeting is being recorded and will be publicly available. All participants must mute themselves unless they are speaking. Lines providing feedback while not speaking will be muted to ensure that others can hear. Only you can unmute yourself using the mic icon. If you are participating by phone, unmute yourself by dialing star six. Participants behaving inappropriately will be promptly removed from the meeting. The chair will invite participants for public comment at the appropriate time, so please be patient and wait to be called on. Please refrain from using the chat feature unless directed by the chair. It will distract from the intended flow of the hearing procedure. At this time, we will have public comment on items that are not listed on the agenda, and we'll ask that speakers limit their comments to 3 minutes. So anyone that wants to address something that's not on the agenda, you can unmute your mic and share your comments. Is there anyone that wishes to do so? Okay, if not, we'll move on to the next item, and that is approval of the past minutes of December 7th, 2021. Does the commission have any revisions or corrections to the December 7th meeting minutes?
Madam Chair, I move that we approve them as submitted to us.
Thank you. Do I have a second?
Seconded.
Marcus, thank you. Any further discussion on the minutes? If not, all those in favor of the motion say aye.
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 Same sign. Okay, minutes are approved. This time we will have our much awaited election of officers. So our vice chair has agreed to move up if that is the wishes of the commission members to take on this wonderful duty. So do I have any motion from the floor for a chair?
I move to make Kate Willis the new chairman. Is that what I'm right?
Thank you. Do I have a second?
I'd second it.
Any discussion? All those in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Okay, ayes have it. Kate, you have the wonderful duty of chair for the next year. Shall we go ahead? Do you want me to go ahead and do the vice chair thing?
Yes, I would. Okay. I appreciate it.
At this time, we need a nomination for vice chair, and we want to make sure that we rotate these duties around the commission. So could I have a nomination for vice chair?
I'll nominate Margaret Swift for vice chair.
I'll second that.
Thank you. All those in favor of the motion, say aye.
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 Opposed? Okay, we have our officers for the coming year. So at this time, I'll turn over the imaginary gavel to Kate.
Thank you. Thank you, everyone, for nominating us, and we plan on serving well, right, Marcus? I apologize. I did not receive any guidance in terms of where we are going now, other than where we'll be reviewing the bylaws. Is there, I apologize, I do not have a script here to follow.
Chair, we're gonna go ahead with the hearing and then do the bylaws after the hearing.
She doesn't have the script.
Let me see if I can get you the script, hold on.
Yeah, thank you.
Are you online, Kate?
I am online.
This is Jency. There should be a chair script that was sent via email yesterday.
It came from Daniel.
My apologies, everyone. I'm looking.
I just resent it, Kate, so it should be right at the top of your inbox.
Thank you. Okay, Russ, I have the one that you sent. Thank you.
So we're ready to open the hearing.
Okay, thank you. The public hearing is now open for the purpose of the Planning Commission's consideration for the land use proposal for file number 921-22-0000, I think I have that right, 507-PLNG, a conditional use permit to construct and operate a recreational vehicle park limited to 10 spaces, 40 feet long by 30 feet wide. The subject property is located to the immediate east of the US Highway 197 and Shady Brook Road intersection, approximately 0.85 miles north of the US Highway 197 and Oregon Highway 216 intersection, approximately 1 mile northwest of Tie Valley, Oregon. More specifically described as map and lot number 3 South, 13 East, Section 33, Tax Lot 400, Tax Account Number 10380. The criteria for approval for the land use decisions includes Chapter 2, Development Approval Procedures, Chapter 3, Basic Provisions, Section 3.410, Rural Commercial, which is R-C Zone, Section 3.510, Rural Industrial, R-1 Zone, Chapter 5, Conditional Use Review, Chapter 10, Fire Safety Standards, Chapter 16, Mobile Home Parks, Chapter 17, Recreational Vehicle Parks, Chapter 20, Site Plan Review, and per Oregon Administrative Rule Chapter 918, quote, Department of Consumer and Business Services Building Codes Division, Division 650, and Division 650, quote, recreational parks and organizational camps. The proposal must comply with applicable provisions contained in the Wasco County Comprehensive Plan and state law. Generally, unless otherwise noted, if a request is found to be consistent with the LUDO, it is considered consistent with the comprehensive plan. So at this time, anyone can speak for or against the proposal today. However, only those who have party status will be able to appeal a decision reached by this commission. The procedure I would like to follow is disclosure of interest, meaning ex-party contact or potential conflicts, reading of the rules of evidence, planning departmental staff will present their report, then there's an opportunity for the applicant to speak. Those who wish to speak in favor of the proposal will be next. Those who wish to speak in opposition of the proposal after that. Applicant rebuttal,
questions by commissioners of staff, applicant, proponent, or opponent, and close the hearing and record and begin deliberation. This is only for commissioners or staff if questioned, and those are the parties that can contribute to this discussion. The rules of evidence are as follows. No person shall present irrelevant, immaterial, or unduly repetitious testimony or evidence. Evidence received shall be of a quality that reasonable persons rely on in the conduct of their daily affairs. Testimony and evidence must be directed toward the criteria applicable to the subject hearing or to criteria that the party believes apply to the decision. Failure to raise an issue with sufficient specificity may preclude raising it before the Land Use Board of Appeals. Failure to raise constitutional or other issues relating to proposed conditions of approval may, with sufficient specificity to allow Wasco County to respond to the issue, precludes an action for damages in circuit court. Does any planning commissioner wish to disqualify themselves for any personal or financial interest in this matter?
I believe I've already recused myself since I'm the one that's filing.
I don't have Mike and I are personal friends, but I have no financial interest in this, and I'm sure that I can make a unbiased decision on it.
Okay, thank you. There's a follow-up question. Does any planning commissioner wish to report any significant ex parte or pre-hearing contacts? And staff is not ex parte and does not need to be disclosed in this situation. They're not ex parte. But does any planning commissioner, has any planning commissioner had any ex parte or pre-hearing contact regarding this matter?
For the record, I have not talked, or nor did I know that this was coming up at all. So I have not talked to Mike about this in any way, shape, or form.
Thank you. Let's see. For the record, have any commissioners conducted a site visit to the subject property? And if yes, then please give your name, the substance of what you saw, who you talked to, and the substance of the conversation.
I've been by the parcel several times, but I've never been there in order to look at any sort of RV park or anything like that. I just know where it is. It's right off the highway.
Okay, and Commissioner Shano, could you please just identify yourself for the record, please?
Sorry, this is Commissioner Shano. I've been by the property. I have never looked at it for any reason, but I know where the park, I've been by the property several times. It's right off the highway.
Okay, and did you talk to anyone?
Commissioner Shano, I've never talked to anybody about an RV park, period, nor did I even know this was coming up until I got it in the email.
Great. All right. Thank you. Now we're moving to party recognition. Anyone can speak for or against the proposal today. However, only those who have party status will be able to appeal a decision reached by this commission. A party is defined in section 1.090 as an applicant and all owners or contract purchasers of record, as shown in the files of the Wasco County Assessor's Office of the property, which is the subject of the application. All property owners of the property, as provided in A above, within the notification area, as described in section 2.080A.2 of the property, which is the subject of the application. A citizen advisory group pursuant to the citizen involvement program approved pursuant to ORS 197.160. Any affected unit of local government or public district or state or federal agency. Any other person or his representative who is specifically, personally, or adversely affected in the subject matter as determined by the approving authority. And in ORS 197.8307B, as persons who appeared before the local government, special district, or state agency orally or in writing. And next we have the staff presenting their report. Please, staff, will you please present your report?
Thank you, Chair. One second. All right, Daniel Doherty, Senior Planner, Wasco County Planning. I want to thank everyone for attending and being part of this public hearing today. I'll go ahead and just dive right in. So the request, as mentioned earlier, is for an approval of a conditional use permit to construct and operate a recreation vehicle park limited to 10 spaces. And so the agenda today includes a discussion of the general location, vicinity map, and surrounding uses. And then we'll dive into the preliminary RV park site plans. And as I discuss the site plans, I'll go ahead and discuss applicable standards as well. And then we'll move into staff recommendation, and then I'll open it for questions. So these are the applicable standards as mentioned earlier, Oregon Administrative Rule, Chapter 19, Division 650. But the heart of this, or the meat of this, is really Chapter 5, Conditional Use Review, Chapter 16, Mobile Home Parks, as well as Chapter 17, Recreational Vehicle Parks. So the approximate 39.7 acre subject parcel is located on the east side of Oregon State Highway 197, a little over 1 mile northwest of the unincorporated community of Tie Valley. So before I continue, I want to update the record pertaining to the wetland use notification that was submitted to the Department of State Lands, or DSL, for this request. Staff received the wetland use notification feedback from DSL on March 30th, 2022. The DSL reviewer, Chris Stevenson, provided, quote, "Based on a review of the available information, the small recreational vehicle park appears to avoid impacts to jurisdictional wetlands and waters," end quote. That feedback has been added to the written record. So, as you can see, the subject parcels within the rural industrial or RI zone, and all of the surrounding adjacent parcels, except for the one to the south, are in the exclusive farm use or A1 zone with a minimum parcel size of 160 acres. The purpose of the RI zone, quote, "is intended to create, preserve, and enhance areas containing secondary manufacturing and related establishments and intense commercial uses with limited external impact," end quote. That can be found in the Wasco County Land Use and Development Ordinance, or LUDO, section 3.510, Rural Industrial RI Zone, page 1. So essentially, specific new industrial uses are allowed under a ministerial or a low-level application in this specific zone, with heavier industrial uses being allowed under a subject to standard land use review and decision. Those are more mid-level, usually administrative decisions. So this particular use is conditionally reviewed, not necessarily because of the potential for heavier industrial type of impacts to surrounding land use, but more so because the requested commercial use, although allowed, isn't directly in line with the underlying purpose of the zone. And so Chapter 5 conditional use review requires analysis of compatibility with surrounding zones. And in this case, based on the request, conditions of approval, and provided commentary from technical experts, staff finds the request meets compatibility requirements of the location, size, design, and operational characteristics of the area as required in Chapter 5, Section 5.020, Subsection B. And so this is a little early, but since I had this map up anyways, I wanted to talk a little bit about the setbacks. So according to applicable criteria, the subject parcel and the adjacent parcel zone designations, the west front yard property line setback must be 25 feet from the right-of-way of Highway 197. The north side yard and east rear yard property line setbacks must be 100 feet from adjacent lands within the exclusive farm use A1 zone. And the south side yard property line setback is not required because the south adjacent property is also within the RI zone. And I've provided the quote from the LUDO pertaining to the south yard or the south proper, property line. In other cases, a side yard shall not be required. So now we're going to just dive on into the preliminary site plan and applicable standards. And so the site plans you'll see in the following slides are actually staff created. This is the general site plan that was submitted with the application. The following site plans, they're based on the submitted plan, overall plan that was submitted with the application. But it's just easier to illustrate the overall plan in multiple maps, if you will. And so staff created some basic site maps for this specific presentation. Per section 3.515.E, the requested RV park is conditionally allowed in the RI zone because RV parks are allowed in the rural commercial zone or the RC zone. So because Chapter 17 Recreational Vehicle Parks does not contain RV park general design standards, Chapter 17 requires that RV park proposals meet applicable Chapter 16 mobile home preliminary and final design standards. So staff utilized applicable criteria within the Oregon Administrative Rules, Chapter 918, Division 650, which establishes minimum safety standards for the design and construction of recreational vehicle parks and organizational camps as authorized in ORS 455.680. So it's also important to remember that the strict preliminary and final design standards required for a mobile home park are many times not necessarily applicable for this recreational vehicle park. So looking at the map, we'll just pertaining to the property development standards outlined in section 3.516 of the RI zone, as proposed, the setbacks for the development all exceed the requirements. With conditions of approval, the request meets signage and outdoor storage requirements that are or may be applicable in the future. All other property development standards are achieved in the preliminary plan and or are not applicable to this request. As you can see, there is an existing 120 foot long by 40 foot wide by 10 foot high structure. There's also identified in satellite imagery as well as the site map areas for parking on all sides of the existing structure. There's also an identified electric utility and light pole and a well on the north side of the existing structure. It's in the plan, 10 40 foot long by 30 foot wide RV sites are identified within the outlined RV area that's outlined in purple. And afforded green space with shrubs as well as small trees has been included in the plan. This is identified as the green area in the actual RV parking sites. Green area, existing green area has been also been included in this site plan. And you can see that some areas contain heavier vegetation, some areas sparser vegetation. So ingress to the proposed RV park will begin from US Highway 197 and proceed through an approximate 32 foot entrance area and gate on an existing gravel driveway for approximately 490 feet. And this is a two-way street. Now this two-way street will merge with a new one-way drive that's proposed, which will proceed east along the south side of the RV park perimeter for approximately 500 feet. In which case it will turn north 225 feet and then head back to the two-way street for egress back onto Highway 197. And again, this is a preliminary access roadmap. However, conditions of approval do require that the proposed access drive must meet criteria outlined within the Oregon Administrative Rule Chapter 918, Department of Consumer and Business Services, Building Codes Division, Division 650, Recreation, Parks, and Organizational Camps, Section 45, General Construction Requirements, subsections 3 through 6. The roads also have to meet requirements within the Wasco County Chapter 10 Fire Safety Standards regarding minimum access, drive widths, turnouts, and fire fuel breaks. So in this case, two-way drives must be at least 20 foot wide and one-way drives must be at least 12 feet wide. This access drive must also take into consideration turnouts every 400 feet and fire fuel breaks, which start at the center line of the access drive and go out 10 feet for the proposed roads. The final site map must illustrate scaled actual driveway distance with turnouts and other necessary fire fuel break standards. And this is all required through conditions of approval in the staff report. Per Chapter 5 Conditional Use Review, requests for comment pertaining to security, fire safety, and public road-related issues were submitted to the Wasco County Sheriff, Wasco County Emergency Management, Wasco County Public Works, and the Tie Valley Rural Fire Protection District, and no concerns were noted. As proposed and with conditions of approval, the preliminary request meets state required access standards and Wasco County access standards. Additionally, as proposed and with conditions of approval, all fire safety standards outlined in Chapter 10 have been met. Furthermore, no adverse impacts to police resources, fire safety resources, or public roads were identified, and the request meets requirements under Chapter 5, Section 5.020, Subsection C. Opportunity from Oregon Department of Transportation was put out, and no comments were actually received from ODOT. So much of the required utility and septic infrastructure currently exists on the subject parcel. Planned utilities and septic that will serve the proposed RV parking sites are outlined on this third preliminary site map. Pertaining to Chapter 5 conditional use review, impacts to sewer and water facilities are required. So comment was requested from our former North Central Public Health District Environmental Health Specialist Supervisor, Nicole Bailey. She provided comments on November 8th, 2021 concerning the request. Quote, a recreational vehicle park is licensable under public health law, which will, upon its opening, place its general operation under local public health oversight. At this time, I have no qualms with them moving forward, although they will need to meet our requirements down the road, to which I recommend them consulting with us, North Central Public Health District, when they get closer to operation to obtain a license seamlessly, end quote. And those comments can be found within the staff report as well. So a condition of approval is included requiring the applicant obtain and maintain a valid license under Oregon Public Health Law to open and operate the proposed RV park. So regarding water resources, Oregon Water Resources Department District 3 Water Master Robert Wood also provided comments on November 8th, 2021. The allowed use is for domestic use for one household and irrigation. Operating an RV park would require a different source of water for campers' use. There is a well on the property and they could use it for 5,000 gallons per day under the commercial exemption, ORS 537.545. If they need more than 5 gallons per day or 5,000 gallons per day, an additional water right would be required, end quote. And those comments are also on the record within the staff report. A condition of approval is included requiring the applicant meet and maintain all state law requirements for water usage under Oregon state law to open and operate the proposed RV park. All right, moving on to the fourth preliminary site map. So this is really just about proposed vegetation. So vegetation screening is required for noise mitigation under Chapter 5, which will be achieved through a combination of conditioned quiet hours of 10 p.m. to 8 a.m. And proposed vegetation planting along the existing site fence and the planting of small trees and shrubs in between the individual RV parking sites. Conditions of approval require planting and continued maintenance of vegetation as required in Chapter 5 for noise mitigation and Chapter 16, Mobile Home Park Section 16.040, subsection F. So this is just a simple preliminary RV parking site diagram that was included in the application. Regarding the preliminary RV parking site diagram, the applicable Wasco County criterion is found within Chapter 6, I think it's 16, Mobile Home Park Section 16.040, subsection H, that provides area space requirements for mobile home sites. Now, these requirements, of course, are not applicable to RV parking sites. Applicable criteria for RV and camping sites is found within OAR Chapter 918, Division 650, Section 0055, Special Rules for Overnight Campgrounds. Now, OAR 918-650-0055, subsection 1 provides for spacing, quote, spacing. Each camping space must be large enough to accommodate the designated class of recreational vehicle or tent and be located a minimum of 10 feet from any other camping space, building or building appurtenance, or any boundary line abutting upon a public street or highway, and 5 feet from any property line. The space area must be designed to minimize the obstruction of any public or private roadway or walkway by vehicles or tents, end quote. As proposed, the basic preliminary site plan, as well as the actual RV parking site plan, meets those requirements. The proposal seeks to develop 10 RV parking sites, approximately 1,200 feet per parking site. The overall preliminary plan, combined with information obtained during the pre-application conference, provides enough information for a reasonable person to conclude the proposed RV parking site spacing is adequate, according to OAR 918-650-0055, subsection 1. So the staff recommendation is to approve the preliminary recreational vehicle park with proposed conditions as submitted by the applicant. And I open it up for questions.
Does the commission have any questions?
I do not. The report was very thorough and clear. So thank you, Daniel.
Okay, hearing none, no other questions from the commission. Does the applicant or and or his representative wish to present anything? And if so, please sign in and state your name for the record.
Okay, my name is Mike Davis. I'm having trouble signing in because of the distance here. But anyway, I'm actually here. Daniel's done an amazing job on this, by the way. And I have to hand it to him for creating a 164-page report on this project. And he was extremely thorough. So my hat's off to the staff. I think that me adding anything would just, I can certainly show you flybys of videos and all sorts of stuff. But realistically, Daniel is really covered in his report. So I'm here to answer questions if anybody has any.
Thank you, Mike. Does the commission have any questions for Mike Davis?
I have one.
Yes, please, Commissioner McIntyre.
Just curious, the building that's already on the property, what has its use been, and then how will it be used in the future related to the proposal? I believe I read that part of it's going to be used for the restrooms. Is that correct?
Yeah, that's a very good question, Lynn. That building historically has been there since the early 50s when there was a rodeo grounds. And since then, I have remodeled it a few times, brought it to code so that it could be used commercially even way before this. So the south end of the building is fairly distinguished, that you can see that that's all brought to code, and it's all offices, and it has two bathrooms there, okay, the men's and women's bathroom. And it also is ADA compliant, and it's also has a outdoor light there as well on that end of the building. And those are going to be used as bathrooms for men and women who come into the park, need something, hasn't set their RV up or whatever, but it's going to be used as such. It's going to be a shared office. The center part of the building is leased out to JMS, which is a turbine wind company, who revamps turbines, and they're using that facility as some parts repair, this type of thing, and as it's a bona fide commercial building. On the very north end of the building is a sort of, I'd call it a community kitchen, and so that access is both for the RV people, which would come in if they need a kitchen or need Wi-Fi or whatever, as well as a washer dryer, which is on a septic on a separate septic system that's been there. So I think that's, I don't want to go too far down the rabbit hole here, but did I answer your question? It will be used, by the way.
Yes, I just had another follow-up question, and that is, will there be an on-site manager, or is this going to be remotely managed?
Well, initially, I am definitely putting in remote security, okay, just like I've done with all my other buildings. And so it's attached to my hip as well as my wife, so that we know what's going on. There is one gentleman that we're going to probably put in there that's sort of, I would call him, I mean, he's going to rent just exactly like everybody else does, but he will sort of oversee things so that nothing abnormal happens.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Okay, thank you.
I have a question, one slight question. Will there be a time limit of stay on these campers?
The answer is no. The RV park is not a, you know, we don't see it as a stay forever, Vicki. Okay, what this is designed for is the pressure that we are, and probably you are as well, getting from our solar people, because they got people camping out on A1 property that shouldn't be, you know. So and I've limited this for a couple, and I think this is another point to put, that I limited it to this 10, and I don't think that, and it's based on two things. One, I want a low impact to the community. I'm not after, you know, putting in a 10,000 sites or whatever. You know, I want to really limit it, low impact to the community, but on the other hand, bring access to the local stores, et cetera, in a friendly sort of manner. And the second thing is, I wanted to limit the use on the existing sewage systems, because I didn't want to have to go out to a very large system, because it would sort of break the bank. So that's why I brought in Nicole before I even thought about, should I move forward to see if it can handle it. And it's a brand new commercial system that's in there. And so the 10 stalls are basically, that's to me a nice balance between, you know, the sewage systems and low impact. And second of all, is that I already got more than 10 people that signed up for these things already, you know. So it's and these people, you know, Vicki, are probably will be here for a couple of years.
They tell me 16 months max now, but
yeah.
And then don't and is it going to be year round?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah.
Just and it's and like I said, that's why I kept them into close proximity to the building.
Yeah.
Easy roads, and you know it's flat, and it's it has a base rock in it already, you know.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Any other questions for Mike? Okay, great. Are there any persons who wish to speak in favor of the request? I think we've already heard from staff and from Mike.
Chair, I'm seeing a hand raised by Sheila Dooley.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. Yes, Sheila, please.
3300 Vinsel Road, Mosier. And I think it sounds fine. I did have a question. Maybe Daniel covered this in his report, but is it going to be fenced in from the highway so like dogs and kids can't run under the highway? Or did maybe you covered that?
Actually, I don't think you did, but it is fenced already.
Okay, good.
And primarily because when I have the alpaca ranch in there, we had to avoid letting the alpacas go out on and to the road. And they're some of those alpacas are sneakier than a 3-year-old. So we had to fence that off really well. And also is that not saying that we're going to have animals. There is an actually interior fenced area that's a really good fence. To keep, I'm thinking about putting goats in it just to keep the goat heads down.
Okay, well, thank you. Yeah.
Welcome.
Great, thank you. Is there anyone else who wants to speak in favor of the request? And if none, are there any persons who wish to speak in opposition to the request? Okay, hearing none, we don't need any rebuttal of that testimony since there was none. Does the commission have any other questions for anyone, including staff? Hearing none, is there any further testimony or does the commission have any questions for the applicant, parties involved, or the staff for the before the record is closed? Okay, if there is no further testimony and no request that the record remain open, the public hearing is closed and the Planning Commission will enter into deliberation. So this is for deliberation. I'm sorry, did I hear someone? Okay, we're going into deliberation. This is for the Planning Commission only, and we can ask questions of staff, if any. Clarifying questions may be made to staff. No new information may be added unless the hearing is continued. And a specific request is made to staff to obtain additional information for the Planning Commission's consideration. We haven't heard any of that. Are there any questions that the commission wished to ask staff as we're deliberating? Or I'll open it up now to deliberation, please.
I'm ready to make a motion, I think.
All right. The motions that could be made is approve the proposed recreational vehicle park plan as submitted by the applicant with the recommended conditions of approval, or B, approve the request with amended conditions and findings, or deny the request with amended conditions and findings. Or if additional information is needed, then we can keep the record open, but we have and we could continue the hearing to a date and time certain to allow for submittal of additional information, or close the evidence record and continue the hearing to a date and time certain to allow for the submittal of additional information. Do I hear a motion?
Commissioner Shannon, I'll move to approve the proposed recreational vehicle park plan as submitted by the applicant with recommended conditions of approval.
I'll second it.
Thank you. Is there any discussion? Hearing none, I'd like to hear a vote. All those in favor, please say aye.
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 All those opposed, please say nay. Hearing none, the vote is unanimously approved. And this concludes the hearing. And the decision of the Planning Commission is to approve.
Good job, Daniel.
Okay, well, thank you. Now I believe that we've concluded the hearing. We are turning then to the bylaws, correct?
Correct.
Okay, so is that turning over to you, Kelly?
We can certainly do it that way, Chair, if that's your prerogative.
Yes, I would like to do that, if you're willing to do that.
Yeah, of course. So I think everybody on the commission, you've had a long and storied history with these bylaws. Angie brought those before you several years ago. We've made a couple tweaks based on feedback from commissioners. I don't really have any other input or feedback about this. My main goal is to, again, make sure that we have a clear, updated, transparent reference document. And also, I think, more critically, we'd like to remove city representation, because that's been kind of a challenge. They have a lot of turnover and in all the planning commissions in Wasco County. So I think it'll just help us be able to advance the selection committee a little bit more quickly. So I'm happy to answer any questions, or would love to open it up to commissioner feedback or questions at this point in time.
So, Kelly, what are the key changes then, just at a high level?
A lot of it is reference updates. So it's sort of streamlining the language and making it consistent with how you guys have functioned. Status quo, I think we're codifying the fact that we've started this rotation process, which we've been doing now for a couple of years, to make sure that everybody has an opportunity to be chair and vice chair. So that's now part of this document. Like I mentioned, we're removing a city representative from the Planning Commission Selection Committee. And again, that is just to alleviate some administrative difficulties with that. You'll remember I presented a while ago a PC evaluation form. So the past director really thought it was important to be able to give you commissioners evaluation forms, just to make sure we're having an open dialogue about performance and any concerns, but also to celebrate successes. Because you guys have been really busy the last couple of years, and we want to make sure to stop and celebrate successes. Something that Chair McIntyre had some questions about were who has the authority to dismiss a member if attendance is an issue. We've shifted that so Planning Commission actually has the ability, if it's just an attendance issue, to dismiss a commission member. But the bulk of the authority in terms of dismissing a member for any other sorts of potential conflicts or other improprieties would be at the board. And then we've removed, you know, a few pieces here and there based on some recommendations from County Council. And the other thing I will say is that this hasn't been updated. The last page, the signing document, that will need to be adjusted for our current chair of the board, who is Kathy Schwartz. But again, not a huge revision, Russ. It's really just trying to bring it up to speed.
Thank you.
Yeah, my recollection is that we had done quite a bit of discussion about this in the past, and for various reasons, it was kind of delayed in getting to this point. But am I correct in remembering that we had already gone through a lot of this and agreed on much of what's already on basically everything that's in the revision?
Thank you, Chair. That's what the records indicate, and that's my recollection from what was shared with me by former Director Brewer.
Sounds right. Okay, so it is open up for discussion. If there are other questions, is the process basically that we could discuss this and then we are then moving forward to approve after discussion?
So the process is you can have a discussion and deliberate, and then the final motion would be a recommendation to the Board of County Commissioners for approval. Ultimately, it is approved by the board.
Okay. Is there further discussion before it's discussion before we go into deliberation, is that correct?
Yes.
Okay. Is there any further discussion before we go into deliberation, commissioners?
I'm ready to make a motion.
Okay. All right. Moving forward, is everyone on the commission, do we want to deliberate at this point, or do we want to move forward to a motion?
Chair Willis, I do have just one quick question, if I could.
Yes.
Is this performance evaluation process outlined at all in these bylaws? I did a quick read through and I didn't think so, but I just wanted to clarify that.
It's not. We left it out to keep flexible, but in the past packet, I think it was from January, the evaluation form was included, and it's just basically goes over attendance, whether or not you're participating, whether or not you're respectful, and if you have any conflicts, and then consists of a planning director's evaluation. So I don't think that we wanted to codify it. We just wanted to try it out as a tool.
Got it. Okay, that's very helpful. And on that note, I apologize for being late today.
No problem. Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Chair, all right. I am seeing a hand raised by Citizen Sheila Dooley. If you're interested to entertain public feedback.
I apologize. Yes, I can't. I for some reason I'm not able to see the hand raising. Thank you for drawing that to our attention. Yes, I think we should recognize if there are questions from the public.
I just had some really fast. The first thing was, when it talks about appearance of record, it says a written statement submitted prior to the closing of the hearing signed by the individual. I assume email, it doesn't say email these days. Emails aren't really signed, but I guess they're considered signed if you send it from your email. The other comment was below that on M, it says the chairperson may set reasonable time limits for oral presentations, and parties are encouraged to submit as much evidence as possible in writing prior to the hearing. So I guess that doesn't really set a time limit, but usually, you know, it's 3 minutes, and sometimes it's really hard to, you know, you end up just talking as fast as you can, you know, in 3 minutes, and you, because you can't assume, and then nobody can process what you're saying, but you can't assume people have read your written comments, you know, when the packets are so big. You know, it's sometimes I know some of these things get really complicated, and you feel like you have to, the people there, not everybody has read what you submitted in writing, so you end up just talking as fast as you can. Anyway, just a comment, the 3 minutes, maybe you consider, it's not in the bylaws, but maybe you consider more than 3 minutes if the packets are really big, be my only comment.
I guess at this, thank you, Sheila. Appreciate that input. I think in terms of the commissioners hearing this input, I don't know process wise, I think the proposal or the suggestion is to increase the 3 minutes to something longer. It sounds like there's no time limit in the bylaws, but it is part of our process. So I guess we might want to deliberate about that. And the other comment was about the emailing and the signature component of the email. And it sounds like that's just kind of a technical input. Do we want to deliberate about that? And is there a process question about the 3 minutes?
Chair, I have a comment on the 3 minute thing. That isn't set in stone. It used to be 5 minutes. It just depends on the amount of testimony that we think we're anticipating for that particular hearing. It was to keep the hearings within a reasonable time frame that we dropped from 5 minutes to 3 minutes, because 3 minutes usually ends up being 5 minutes anyway, and the 5 minutes was 10 minutes. So that's how the time frames got put in there.
Yeah, can I tag on to that,
Kate? Yes, Commissioner Hargrave, please.
Yeah, my recollection is just as Vicki states, and I wanted to suggest that, and what we actually do in practice is we scale it, as Vicki was saying, so the people can talk as long as they reasonably want to, but it depends. And the 3 minute, the only time I remember that being a hard rule was for that railroad hearing where we had several hundred people in the audience. And the reason we went to 3 minutes and actually timed it and held to it in that case was just in order to have an orderly meeting and to let everyone speak. But what we really should be doing is giving people the time that they need based on the substance they're trying to communicate, and also based on the amount of time it's going to take collectively, because the meeting does need to get finished, you know, is part of having an orderly meeting. So the 3 minute to me was on the extreme end of the spectrum. And I only remember the railroad hearing really calling for something that strict.
I guess I'd like to make a distinction between the language that's in the bylaws and then the process that we follow as we're doing a hearing. So, you know, the question I think before us right now is there a recommendation that would go to the county commissioners related to these bylaws? And is there any change we want to make related to the bylaws itself?
It's not in the bylaws, so.
Right. It's just in our process.
I believe you have a motion on the table anyway.
Yeah, I think.
Okay. Okay. The motion, please, could it please be stated in terms of is there a recommendation to take it as the bylaws as is to the county commissioners, or what is the motion, please?
This is Commissioner Shannon. I move to accept the bylaws and send them to the Board of County Commissioners for approval.
Do I hear a second?
As written.
Second.
I'll second.
Great. Okay, I'd like to ask for a vote. All in favor, please.
Aye.
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 Any opposed? Okay, hearing none. The recommendation is that the bylaws go to the county commissioners as proposed with no further amendment.
Great, thank you, Chair. And
Sorry, Kelly. Chair Willis, I just want to be clear who the second was on that motion.
I believe it was Vicki, Commissioner Ashley, is that right?
I think Lynn was actually first, Chair.
Oh, was it? Okay.
Yeah, Commissioner McIntyre.
Commissioner McIntyre, thank you.
All right, thank you.
Okay.
So I appreciate that. And I just wanted to address the 3 minute thing. I think Commissioner Ashley and Commissioner Hargrave are correct. With 3 minutes, we were pretty rigid about that for UPRR and also for the marijuana hearings. For those of you that were around when we were passing the marijuana revisions to the ordinance, we had a huge turnout, but staff will definitely take that under advisement. As you'll notice tonight, for instance, we didn't set time limits on testimony because we weren't anticipating a large number of testimony one way or the other. So we're happy to make that note and formulate sort of a policy document with the suggestion that it's scalable depending on how much testimony we actually anticipate.
Okay. I believe we are at the end of our...
I have a quick director's report for you, Chair.
Please, thank you.
So one discussion item I'd like to throw out there is when Planning Coordinator Smith sent around an email some months ago asking about APA membership, so the American Planning Association membership that we've been paying for annually, if there was a continued interest, she didn't really hear back. So we let that lapse, but we'd like to follow up. You don't have to answer now live, but if that is something that you're interested in, either in, individually, we can maintain a membership for you. And if there's a sort of a tipping point where if we have a few people interested, we'll continue to do it for the whole commission. But if you can just let Jency know within the next couple of weeks whether that was something you found to be a valuable service, you read the articles, did the trainings, that thing, we're happy to pay for that. Alternatively, if you didn't find that a useful tool, but have some other thoughts about maybe where those funds could go, whether it's Robert's Rules or some other kind of planning website that you're interested in being involved in, we're happy to do that. We did budget an amount to cover that for the Planning Commission. So another couple of updates really quickly. I don't know if you are aware or not, Isaac Stats, who was in the long range program, has left his position for something in the I-5 corridor. So we are currently recruiting for an associate long range planner. We are also continuing our search for either an assistant planner or an associate planner for the current planning program. We do have some interviews scheduled for this week for an assistant, but we're continuing to look. Some of you may be familiar with us in your day-to-day lives and just watching the news and what have you. Recruitment is excessively challenging. We're not, planning field is not immune to that, particularly for mid-range professionals. So we do anticipate, we're hoping we have some luck with the interviews this week, but we do anticipate the long-range position is going to be kind of hard to maintain or to recruit for. So if you know of anybody that you think might be a good fit, let us know.
Director Housley Glover, is it a national search?
We do have it out there on national websites, yes.
Okay.
And we've always generally gotten applications from all over. And in fact, this summer, I was actually corresponding with somebody out of Australia. Mm. So we've even gotten some international coverage and interest, and we're always open-minded about that. I think that the difficulty is that county doesn't necessarily pay relocation costs. So, and then housing is always an extreme challenge. It was a challenge when I came to the county 6 years ago. It continues to be even worse. So that's, you know, another strike against us when we're looking to fill these positions. We do have a code compliance officer. I'm going to be introducing her formally to the board at the end of the last board hearing in April. She's doing incredible work. We shifted the code compliance program with approval from the board to set a prioritization schedule that emphasizes land use violations over nuisance cases, like hoarding cases. And she's been tremendously successful. She's been with us since February and has reduced the case volume by quite a bit. So I'm really, really pleased. She comes to us from Washington with a ton of experience and is already making a lot of headway on potentially updating that ordinance and really streamlining that program. I think that will be really beneficial for the citizens of Wasco County. So if you're interested, she's going to be giving that presentation at the board hearing at so it would be the fourth Wednesday of the month. And I don't have a time for that, but if you're interested, you can ping me and I'll give you the information for that. Our land use and development ordinance update, Sally's fourth. I'm going to start revealing the drafts in three consecutive weeks, beginning April 20th. And we'll start with the communications facilities chapter. That's a new chapter we're introducing based on requirements from the FCC and also the state. It's pretty simple. It's based and modeled after Hood River, which we've received a lot of public feedback that they'd like to see us do something like Hood River. So that's exciting. That draft again will be released to the public April 20th. I'm happy to share those drafts with you in advance if you'd like. The following week is the one that has the most optional information, and that is the farm and forest zones. And those include a lot of optional new uses for, in particular, the farm zones. So we need a lot of public feedback about that. And then the last week, so the first Wednesday in May, we'll be releasing drafts related to the energy facilities chapter and also our proposal for a military airspace overlay zone. That's in conjunction with the grant funding we have from the Department of Defense, basically to make sure that we're coordinating any very tall projects, projects over 100 feet tall, with the military very early on to make sure it's not encroaching on their training routes. So lots of exciting stuff for the LUTO update this year. Again, the activities happening beginning April 20th. The drafts are going to be released. We've got a couple virtual events scheduled. We're working on some in-person events for May and June as well. And I plan on sending a first of two mailed notices to residents in May. So once we have all the drafts ready to go. One of the cool things about the website this year is we've invested in, because of the Department of Defense grant, we've invested in a tool that will actually enable citizens to comment on the draft as they're reading, and they can leave questions, they can leave comments. So it should be really interactive, and I think hopefully enliven the experience of reading what tends to be kind of a dry draft. So I encourage you to encourage your friends and neighbors and family members to really engage with us. But I want to emphasize again, those farm uses, those optional farm uses are really what we need a lot of good public feedback about.
Kelly?
Yeah.
Excuse me. What's a military overlay zone?
Yeah. So we have several military training routes over Wasco County. It's airspace. And they fly at different heights. Some are sort of at about 200 feet above ground level, some are 500, some are 5,000, depending on the band that's over Wasco County. And what the military has found with the increase in commercial energy projects, solar projects, wind turbine projects, is that there's been some conflict when it's in their flight path. And so the airspace just makes it, we have the layer available. It's not publicly adopted. So I could show you the map of what it looks like. But what the plan is to actually adopt the map as an overlay zone so that public knows where those training routes are. And then any project that's proposed that presents potential encroachment. So again, that structure's over 100 feet high. So again, we're looking mostly at energy facilities, cell towers, and MET towers. They would need early coordination with the military, and we would just need to look at any kind of mitigation strategies. So maybe it's kind of moving it, or it's thinking about anti-reflective coating or those kinds of things.
I have a question with that, if you don't mind.
Yeah, of course. Here.
The federal FAA regulations regarding drones is 0 to 400 feet. Okay, so what we have to be careful of here is that if the military is going to want to be down that low, okay, that means they're going to have to do a military operations or MOA overlay on top of this, and that means that it has to be given to the public because it restricts anybody doing drone work. Okay, so like for an example, if we're out training.
So, Commissioner Davis, I don't know that that has any impact on land use. I would assume that would be something the military would file separately with the FAA.
Yeah, but I think that what we need to do when they start having a dialogue with that, let's be cognizant of not only commercial use of drones, but just recreational flyers. Because
I'm assuming though these training routes have existed for a long time. I'm assuming they've already done that work. So yeah. The focus of the overlay is really related to land use.
Yeah.
Not drone activity, if that makes sense.
Well, the question though is that in relation to land use, that you're doing a structure that's over 100 feet tall, okay, on land. But if the question is that they are going to give us an overlay, okay, that's what I'm hearing, is that the military is going to give us an overlay saying, look, we want to be able to go down to 100 feet here. Is that what they're really asking?
Well, they already have the ability to do that. They already have the ability to fly in those bands. We're not granting them the bands or the access over Wasco County. Really, what we're trying to do is coordinate any development on the ground that exceeds that 100-foot height.
But if I totally get that. But my point here is that if we look at the FAA right today, okay, the only MOA that it's overlaid is over in Boardman and Arlington, and that's it. In the southern Wasco County, there is a military route, a military highway. But right. That doesn't even start until 5,000 feet. So the real question is that are they, I don't know why they're asking for that, or is a land use law on A1 property that has, there is no military above it.
Commissioner.
So these bands already exist. The early coordination is actually required now by state law for energy projects in particular.
Okay.
So really it's sort of like we're just trying to be very transparent with citizens and any potential developers that they need to coordinate with the Department of Defense. So yes, it shouldn't functionally change anything that's happening in Wasco County.
Director?
Sort of commonly. Yeah.
Director, I've seen them fly on our property, right over our property, and they're so low, I can see the pilot, and they actually have to lift to go over the big transmission lines. So they're flying out of their boundaries right now as it is.
Yeah, I'm not okay.
We don't have any control over that. That needs
We do.
We don't have any control over whether.
Well, then why are you asking to put it into our code if we don't have control over it?
We don't have control over their flight paths or their flight patterns. That's something that the FAA regulates.
Well, then we don't need to put anything in our code. We don't need a military overlay, do we?
I'd just like to ask a question in terms of, I know that this was a report out from the director about sort of dates that things that are on the calendar. Mm-hmm. Do we want to continue to talk about it at this point, or do we want to reserve time to talk about it at another point?
I would like to know where these proposed overlays are. And Kelly earlier on said that she could show us where the existing routes are. I would like to see that.
I want to see that too.
I'm happy to send you copies of the draft, and I'm happy to have you guys have a sneak peek at what's going on. And I think once you take a look at the map and the draft, it'll all make a lot more sense.
Okay. I'll tell you, because if you live out here in this county, outside of the city, it is really horrendous. They fly so close to your house that you would swear they're going to hit it. And I don't think it's a joke. And I certainly would not embrace it with any kind of an overlay.
No, I agree.
And I agree with that, Russ, right on. I've seen them go down through here, and I look at the FAA regs and I look at the maps, and it doesn't show anything.
They're out of control.
And there is no NOTAMs. That's a notice to airmen. So if they have to do something by law, they're supposed to do NOTAMs by the.
Yeah, I wouldn't embrace that.
So
what we heard is that that Director Housley Glover will, there is something coming out in the first Wednesday of May. Is that right? For energy and military? Okay. Energy and military airspace overlay, and that you will get the maps to the commissioners ahead of that meeting.
Yeah, it's not a meeting. It's a virtual open house.
A virtual open house.
To the public, but I'm happy to send that in advance. I'm happy to send you all the drafts in advance.
Please do.
Okay.
Yep.
Yeah.
Okay. And do the commissioners, is that anything else that the commissioners need at this point? Or you know where to contact director if you need more information about this? Yes. Okay.
Okay. And then one more point I wanted to make before we close tonight. We're trying out a new thing where once a month from 10 until 1, we're going to have office hours at the Civic Center in Maupin. The goal is to be more accessible to our South County residents. So maybe we can keep them from having to drive up to see us. The first one of those dates is going to be April 15th. So we're doing it on Fridays when the office is closed, and we'll typically have two planning staff there to accommodate residents. We'll have computers and materials, and planners are proposing to do a couple special topics. So if you've got friends and neighbors down in South County, just let them know we're going to be there in Maupin once a month to hopefully meet their needs, be able to be a good service, answer any questions that they have in person. And we're really hoping that it's successful. The board is allowing us to do it on a trial run, and then we're going to go back to the board in August to sort of give the results of this experience. So it is important that we see some folks, some friendly faces here over the next several months. And that is all I have to report.
Was that
April? Do we have a May meeting? Are we going to have a May meeting?
I do not believe we have anything on the agenda currently for May.
And was that meeting in Maupin, you say, this month, like a week from this Friday?
Yeah, it's not a meeting. Again, it's office hours for current planners to be there. We're going to have two current planners there from 10 until 1, no lunch, right, to be able to service any customers that want to come talk to Wasco County planning staff about any kinds of planning issues.
Do you want any of the commissioners there?
You're happy to stop. I think you're more than welcome to stop by. But again, it's not a meeting. It's really meant to just replicate our services here in the office.
Got it. Yeah.
Is it too early to nominate Marcus Swift to go to that meeting in South County?
I drive down here every week, actually.
Yeah. Kelly, with your being short-staffed, is that going to cause a hardship on the office?
No, that my staff is actually really excited about it. And that's why we're doing it on Fridays, again, because we're closed to the public on Fridays. So,
okay. Thank you.
And Chair Willis, could I make a quick comment?
Yes, please.
Thank you. Swift. Thank you. I just wanted to thank Kelly for the great report. The outreach sounds amazing in South County. Back to the issue around staffing and the planning department. I think it's really vital that we as planning commissioners are communicating to the Board of Commissioners and the county administrator about the need for our county government to get more involved in the issue of housing in our county. Our planning department needs top quality candidates, and those candidates need quality, affordable housing. So it's a direct issue that's impacting our county government and its functions, and our Board of Commissioners needs to step up and get more involved. In my previous conversations with the Board of Commissioners and County Administrator, I've been told that housing is not a county issue, and I could not disagree more. I mean, we're talking about trying to attract, and recruit good quality candidates. Those folks need a place to live. The county needs to get more involved. And I would just encourage us all to pass that along to the full commission. Thanks.
I think it's election year for some of them. So it's a good time to put some pressure on them, on all of them. I agree with Marcus.
Can I ask a question on that of Kelly? Kelly, have you in your recruitment efforts, have you found that to be the barrier?
It's definitely one of them, but it's a longstanding barrier.
Okay. Because I would have, if I had to put my finger on one thing, I would have put it more on maybe salary. But that's interesting. Interesting point, Marcus. Thanks.
It is a really good point. Thank you for bringing it up. Very important to talk about it here. And I'm wondering if it would be interesting to see, what the losses are due to lack of affordable housing. I don't know if there's any data around that, but what's the impact about, being able to fill these positions?
But I guess my confusion is we frequently, or at least my perception, I can think of three cases where we've lost planning staff to Hood River Planning Department, and the housing is less available and less affordable in Hood River.
Yeah.
So I didn't know that housing. Go ahead, sorry.
Well, I was asking Kelly if she thinks it's also a pay issue. You know, are they paying them more in Hood River than?
Yeah, I think they. Yeah, that's what I thought it was. Yeah.
I mean, I think that's something all needs to be addressed on why we're losing so many good people. If it's money, I mean, I think that's something we need to try to figure out.
Yeah, I agree, Chris, if that's what it is. And I think Kelly's in a good position to, you know, feel what she doesn't exactly know how people are making their decisions, but she's on the front line. But I would just be interested to what extent it's housing versus salary. That's what I thought was going on. When I saw people move to Hood River, I didn't think it was housing.
Well, and, you know, they might still be living here, but working at Hood River, which is becoming more and more common as more people come here because they can't afford Hood River. So it just continues to compound the problem.
Trickles down. Yeah.
Kelly? Is the salary range and the categories based on years of experience and education, does it fall into categories that APA has in their professional reports about salaries across the country?
So I'm not an HR expert. I can tell you that the county has a specific salary philosophy, how they compensate people. That's complicated by the state regulations related to pay equity. And we are in the process of having a salary study where we have an outside company pull basically comps for salary. And that's sort of how the process for how they determine salaries. But the compensation philosophy, has tended to put us mid-range competitively with other jurisdictions in the state of Oregon. So we're not at the low end, but we're not at the high end.
I have one last question regarding, you know, trying to find staff, trying to bring it in. And it seems like that we have, for the last 2 to 3 years, we've talked about affordable housing, whatever affordable housing is, let's put it that way, because it seems like it's kind of like all over the place. But the question I have is that in the county, what are we really, who's doing something about it? I mean, we've talked about, you know, the contractors can't afford to build inexpensive. We talked about this, we talked about that. We've had little meetings in middle of Tie Valley. We had discussions around a cup of coffee, but is there a really formalized group that's commissioners or whatever, who is actually physically doing something? And if they are, then who is that group, and how do we activate and support that group so that they can find housing, like, say, for if Kelly is, you know, right on to say, hey, you know, come work here, and by the way, here's a great house for you, you know what I'm saying, and try to get that off people's checklist. If that's a primary, then we should be really looking at that. So the question I have, who's the group? Who's the team? Who's the person who's the group that is spearheading bringing better housing opportunities, let's put it that way, for the county?
And Mike, to your point, that's why I brought this up, is that I don't believe the Board of Commissioners is involved in this discussion at all. And I think as a county government, they should be. But also, to answer your question, there's a couple of different groups that are having very intensive conversations around the issue of houselessness and affordable housing and creating more housing stock in the community. And I'd love to loop you in with those folks because we're always looking for good, smart people to participate. So,
well, if you want somebody smart, ask Russ, you know. But my thought here is that we need to empower those people and we need to have the visibility. And if that starts, and I think you're right, Marcus, it starts with the commissioners. And but I'm just hearing silent error when we talk about this down here. Anyway,
I think it's a good cause, and there is a planning aspect. Obviously, there could be. I mean, it doesn't have to be, but I think planning could play a role and facilitate such a thing. It would have to be sponsored by at the commissioner level to have any success, or even to convene a group of with any charter to go do that. I've got passion for that because I actually think it would be not only good for people who are looking for housing, and of course good for us who are looking for planning staff, but I think it would be good for the county, because if you can't have a workforce, then you're not going anywhere. So I've got a lot of passion for that, Marcus, and to the extent that it fits within our charter as a planning department, I think we should line up with the commissioners and play our part in such an objective.
This is a really interesting conversation. I'm wondering, is it within our charter, and can that be a takeaway question to address in future meetings?
Maybe there's a takeaway question for the commissioners in, would they like us to look at this from a planning perspective?
That's a very good statement, Russ, and that meaning that we're here for the privilege for the county commissioners, so they don't have to do this. Okay, so maybe if the commissioners charter us as a group, and then we keep this on our agenda, so we make really action points to it. Maybe we should do that.
And then, so we could just reply and say, well, you could have a designated area, or you could have a special zoning, or you could blah, blah, blah. And, would they like us to do that? Because we're here, we have that kind of expertise. And if it's something they think is important, that's what we could provide them.
Yeah, and then land use is also like, how do we support the Evergrid or the solar area where they're having such trouble? So finding any place, and how do we maybe do temporary zoning overlays that probably the state will have to approve? It's that, hey, right there at Vicky's place, maybe there's a place over there that should be.
But not to leap to a solution, because that's when it becomes a political issue, and that's when it really needs citizen input. But the question, I think, at this point is, would they like us to take a look at that and give the commissioners some information on what potentially planning could enable?
I don't know if this is appropriate, everyone, but I'm wondering if, Director, I'd like to ask you, is this something, I know you guys, it begs the question, right? I know you guys are already beleaguered and short-staffed. Is this something that, what would be a recommended process to do this? And is this appropriate for us to be discussing it here at this moment in the meeting, at this moment? I just need a little guidance here on.
So you could certainly form some kind of subcommittee or work group. I'll remind you that next year's LUDU update focuses almost entirely on housing. We do have a couple natural hazard issues to address next year that will be complicated. But housing and wildfire are our main focuses. If in leading up to those discussions and those draft revisions, you wanted to form some kind of subcommittee and you had some suggestions or ideas, I think that's fully appropriate. But as far as I guess I'm not really clear on exactly what the ask is. It sounds like maybe you want to seek permission from the board to pursue housing, or
let's give it.
I guess I'm not understanding how you make that actionable.
Yeah. I'd like to propose that we take this offline for those who are interested, and maybe a proposal could be brought back from some county commissioners to send it up for consideration. How forming a subcommittee of some sort with the Ludo review coming in mind, with a focus on housing and wildfires next year. Does that sound appropriate to everyone?
Yes. I just want to be clear. I did not intend for this to turn into having to create new programs or systems within the planning department for the already, hardworking staff that's overwhelmed. For me, I think I was making a broader policy point about the fact that the Board of Commissioners is not involved in a lot of these conversations right now that are happening, and they should be. And that's, beyond that, if folks want to form a subcommittee and be happy to chat about that as well. But just, until political leadership at the top is willing to do stuff on this, I don't know that the county is going to make much progress on it.
Well, it's all your fault, Marcus. I'm going to blame it on you.
I'd like to propose that we go ahead and we maybe talk offline about this and figure out there is a dividing line, and I don't know where it is exactly for our role as county commissioners and the role to sort of advocate and politically move in a particular direction. So I guess I would propose that we talk about this offline.
Yeah, and I think that's a great idea, Kate. And also, besides housing, I would like to have a little sub one, just like to be aligned with what Kelly's looking at for next year, and wildfires. So housing and wildfire. And the reason why I want to do that is I've been invited by the National BLM and DOI to discuss wildfires in Eastern Oregon coming up in Burns Pendleton for a couple days in May. And so from there, at least I can bring back some information of why they're moving their wildfire central area to Boise, which they did because of the potential increase in wildfires that's going to happen in our fine state. So I'd like to, maybe have a brief discussion of that, because there might be something there that we can help with.
Okay, so I think where we landed was we got the updates from the director. Yes.
Lynn, Commissioner McIntyre had her hand up quite a bit.
Thank you. I've got to figure out where to see the hand raising. Apologies. Yes, Commissioner McIntyre.
I just wanted to remind people that there were a number of strategies that were in the comprehensive plan update that is going to be effectuated by the LUDO that dealt with affordable housing, including things like accessory dwelling units, allowing mobile homes to be used for residential purposes, things like that. So we need to go back and revisit that before, trying to reinvent the wheel. Yeah, but adding to that certainly could be part of what we're thinking about going forward into the LUDO update, how we might expand on that.
Well said, Lynn. I think that's probably the first thing. So I'd say that if we're going to take this offline, then I think we should say, okay, let's have a meeting, just discuss this topic offline on this date.
Okay, and we don't run into any, process-wise, we don't run into any issues with this, right? This is just a topical, it's not related to a particular hearing or a particular anything we're going to have to deliberate about. Okay. All right, just to clarify.
This is Commissioner Shannon. I'd like to take a quick second to thank Commissioner McIntyre for all her efforts in a good year as president. She did a great job.
Absolutely agree.
Thank you.
Yes, definitely. Yes, thank you. Thank you, Lynn McIntyre, for the wonderful leadership that you provided. I appreciate that very much. Thank you, Commissioner Shannon. Before we adjourn, is there any other topic, director, staff, commissioners, to discuss?
I move to adjourn. This is Commissioner Shannon.
Okay, hearing none, we have a motion to adjourn. Do I hear, are we ready to adjourn? Okay. All right, great. We are adjourned.
Thank you, everybody.
Thank you all.